You've spent years climbing the ladder, checking boxes, doing everything right. Yet something gnaws at you during the morning commute. That persistent whisper asking, is this it? This isn't a personal failing. It's the defining question of our age. We've inherited unprecedented freedom to choose our careers, yet paradoxically feel more trapped than ever. While our grandparents had their paths carved by circumstance, sons following fathers into trades, daughters into domestic roles, we face thousands of possibilities. This should feel liberating. Instead, it's paralyzing. Roman Krznarek's work cuts through the noise of conventional career advice to address what really matters, finding work that doesn't just pay bills, but nourishes your soul. The stakes couldn't be higher. We spend roughly 80,000 hours of our lives working. That's too much time to spend in quiet desperation. Imagine 285 cookie varieties in a supermarket. Delightful until you're paralyzed by indecision. Now multiply that anxiety across every career possibility. Psychologist Barry Schwartz calls this choice paralysis, when abundance becomes burden. Throughout history, work was inherited, not chosen. The Industrial Revolution expanded options, public education introduced merit-based selection, and women entering the workforce multiplied possibilities further. Today, we face too many doors with no guidance about which to open. We make crucial decisions absurdly young. At 15, choosing sciences over arts closes entire career categories before we understand them. Years later, after investing time, money, and identity into specialized education, we're psychologically trapped by sunk costs, reluctant to abandon paths we've traveled far down. Career assessment tools offer false comfort. The Myers-Briggs has a 50% chance of categorizing you differently after just 5 weeks, essentially a workplace horoscope, appealing but scientifically questionable. Dostoevsky wrote that the cruelest punishment would be work completely devoid of usefulness and meaning. Five dimensions shape career choices: earning money, achieving status, making a difference, following passions, and using talents. The first two are extrinsic, means to an end. The last three are intrinsic, valuable in themselves. Money is the oldest motivator, yet once basic needs are covered, additional income adds surprisingly little to well-being. The hedonic treadmill kicks in. We earn more, expect more, buy more, then need even more to feel satisfied. Those promising themselves just a few years in lucrative but soul-crushing jobs typically get stuck indefinitely. Status proves equally treacherous. Prestigious jobs boost self-esteem temporarily, but this universal desire for reputation leads us towards careers society admires rather than work that genuinely fulfills us. What we actually need is respect, being valued for unique contributions. Trevor Dean, an embalmer, finds profound fulfillment from grieving families who appreciate his compassion, not from prestige. Making a difference correlates strongly with job satisfaction. Beyond ethical work lies pursuing passions and talents regardless of money or status. Wayne Davies abandoned teaching to become a real tennis coach. "I'm never happier than when I'm playing a proper match. You can erase everything else in life." Meaningful work combines intrinsic rewards, making a difference, using talents, reflecting passions. The path forward isn't finding one perfect job, but identifying multiple possibilities, then testing them in reality. Start with reflection. Map your career path, showing not just jobs held, but motivations behind decisions. What patterns emerge? Another exercise: imagine five parallel universes where you spend a year pursuing any career, food photographer, massage therapist, social entrepreneur. Analyze what attracts you to each and how they align with your priorities. But reflection alone isn't enough. Our evolutionary psychology makes us hate losing twice as much as we love winning, a bias that helped ancestors survive but now traps us in unfulfilling careers. When considering change, we magnify potential problems rather than strengths. Reject meticulous planning before action. Instead, embrace Leonardo da Vinci's approach: experience will be my mistress. Three effective experimental approaches exist: radical sabbaticals, branching projects, and conversational research. Branching projects work particularly well, testing new work while still employed. Conversational research means talking with people doing work you might pursue, helping overcome being trapped by your social circle's expectations. Beyond meaning lies daily enjoyment, which is where flow becomes crucial. Psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi researched this state of complete absorption where nothing else matters. During flow, we're totally engaged in the present moment, often losing track of time. Athletes call it being in the zone, musicians in the groove, programmers wired in. Flow typically occurs when using skills for challenging but not overwhelming tasks, especially when being creative, seeing immediate impact, and working toward clear goals. Rather than forcing flow in unfulfilling work, find work naturally providing flow opportunities. The best discovery method is through branching projects, actually trying the work, supplemented by asking professionals about their flow experiences and keeping a flow diary. Record specific conditions, challenge level, skill level, environment, and feedback type. Notice whether you experience flow more during solo work or collaboration, with creative or analytical tasks, in structured or flexible environments. Look for patterns across different domains. These often reveal underlying strengths guiding career choices regardless of specific field. We crave both security and freedom, attention defining our careers. Anarchist Colin Ward explains why we happily garden after work. We're free from bosses, responsible only to ourselves. Self-employment offers this independence, with 47% reporting high job satisfaction versus 17% of employees. Yet it's nuanced. Fiona Robin, who left corporate work for a Buddhist-inspired writing business, calls it wonderful and awful, lacking security but offering control and meaning. Why do many work too hard in unfulfilling jobs? Some make Faustian bargains for security. Others inherit Protestant work ethic guilt. Many succumb to work addiction, using busyness to avoid deeper questions. Bertrand Russell argued technology could enable four-hour workdays for art and community. The solution may lie in simple living, rejecting materialism for meaningful existence. When corporate lawyer turned freelancer Samira Khan's income decreased, she discovered, "We are thousands of pounds a month down. How on earth did we used to spend that money?" Reducing consumption allows working less, creating space for relationships and creativity that money can't buy. A vocation isn't found, it's cultivated. Marie Curie worked 14-hour days in a drafty shed, living on buttered bread and tea, refusing material comforts to pursue radiation secrets. Her calling crystallized through years of dedicated research, not sudden inspiration. Many freeze at career change's final hurdle, paralyzed by doubts after identifying their ideal path. Career coach Samira Khan discovered, "When you want to quit your job, you just have to do it." This echoes Horace's Carpe Diem, Hillel's If Not Now, When, and Kierkegaard's Leap of Faith. Ease transitions with financial safety nets and public declarations. Writing your obituary can prevent future regret. But ultimately, heed Zorba the Greek. A man needs a little madness, or else he never dares cut the rope and be free. Studies show people in their final years regret risks not taken far more than those that failed. Philosopher A.C. Grayling warns, "If there is anything worth fearing in the world, it is living in such a way that gives one cause for regret in the end. Your 80,000 working hours are too precious to waste. Find that madness, cut the rope, and be free."